I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is Internet Marketing. Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Internet Marketing. I'm Andy White and...
I am Kelvin Newman.
Brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com.
Yeah, that's us. That's great.
That is us, yes. Yeah. I had a bit too much momentum in my introduction.
Sorry, was I kind of ruining your flow there?
I think it was both of us.
Okay.
Anyway, what we're looking at today is email marketing, isn't it?
Yeah, part one. So I've got a bit of a two-parter episode coming up. Basically I know it's a topic that's actually like probably one of the most underrated aspects of digital marketing is email, particularly because it's really, really effective. But it's also kind of a little bit unloved, and I know that we haven't really covered it as a topic for probably a year or two.
Well, hasn't email recently been the subject of a bit of hatred, a bit of an email hunt going
well,
on?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think the problem is everyone thinks, okay, well, because no one, or people are reading their email less and perhaps using social media more, that makes email less effective. Now, maybe that's a little bit of the case, but actually I think that email is still significantly more effective than many of the marketing channels that people are doing. And you'll often face this decision, well, how do I track and prove the ROI of my social media marketing or whatever it is, these new things that people are trying out, when actually with email you can do that. There's a history of that, there's performance going back years and years and years, so you can be fairly confident that you're doing a good job and that it as a thing works, which is kind of a good position to be in. So I've kind of wanted to talk a little bit in this episode about email marketing and then follow up a little bit more on kind of some of the practical actionable tips in a second episode that we're going to produce about email marketing. So I just wanted to start off really by just making it really, really clear that Andy's passed me something to make
okay,
me a little bit less noisy.
That annoying clanging was Kelvin's watch hitting the desk.
Okay, sorry.
Because I've just given him a pad.
I could take my watch off.
Go on then. I'll remove
it. I'm still playing about with a ball at the same time though, which is my terrible bad habit I've got at the moment. Kind of in some research that the consultancy have in their email best practice guide, they talked about how email's share of the budget is increased by 23% a couple of years ago as well. And they also took a survey of multi-channel digital marketers, and they kind of rated email as one of the best channels for return on investment, second only to kind of search engine optimization. And with almost two-thirds of the people that they surveyed, 78%, rating email as either excellent or good. So that's kind of, and only 4% actually said it was poor from a return on investment perspective. So it's really just to understand that if you're not doing email marketing, you're probably missing a little bit of a trick, because it is considered by the people who are doing it to be such an effective part of their marketing channel.
So is it still true to say, Kelvin, that the one of the most valuable things you can develop is an email list?
Well, yeah, I definitely think that's the case. Once you've built a relationship with people and got them to sign up to your email list, you're potentially in a very strong position to kind of generate leads or sales or referrals off the back of that. And to just kind of put it into a sense of kind of how that fits, so this survey that eConsultancy did, 6% of people said that search was excellent. 33% said that SEO was an excellent marketing channel. 26% said email marketing. Only 16% for paid search, and even 12% for affiliate marketing, which, if any form of marketing out there was about kind of return on investment, you would think there'd be affiliates where you're paying per actual sale or per lead there. So really, really important, really, really effective. So just to kind of go over some of the benefits of email marketing, you've got a low cost of fulfillment, so unlike you know, many marketing channels, particularly compared to some of the offline ones, you know, that it's relatively low cost to implement. You kind of get an immediate response as well. I mean, with Brighton SEO, I've taken down our websites on a number of occasions just by sending out emails that people click through and follow to. Mm. I've never been able to have that level of success with social media marketing. It can be great for building a relationship over time because it's this kind of, you know, passive, but like, you know, it's easy to develop over time, and much of kind of what people try to do with social in terms of building relationships, you can do with email. And it's very fast to deploy as well. You know, so I can kind of start working now on an email marketing campaign and have it live in a matter of hours and in people's inboxes. There's all kinds of automation possibilities as well in terms of autoresponders or kind of automatically sending emails to people who've been with you 6 months and all of these types of things as well. It's very easy if you want to individually track and follow up on people as well. So you might have a mailing list of a couple of thousand, but you can see that, you know, if someone responds to that and replies to you, you treat it as a normal kind of email that you've got there. Or potentially you could see who opens the email and look at them and kind of respond to them there as well. It's relatively easy to personalize them as well. You know, if you've got a good database, you can personalize your email. Relatively easy to measure. And there's a huge amount of testing as well. It's, you know, and I'll talk a little bit further on testing in a minute as well. So just in terms of some of the, you know, more clever targeting stuff that people are doing on email, just to kind of set the scene for some of the things you might be thinking about. You know, and this is kind of the people who, you know, this is again from that e-consultancy survey. So 75% of people are doing some basic kind of segmentation of their list. 60% of people are doing some regular list cleansing. So I don't know, something I've never really done with my email marketing, but ought to do more of, which is kind of removing, you know, the email marketing will automatically remove people who unsubscribe or you get hard bounces from. But are you actually pruning that list in a proactive way? So people who opened an email in the last 12 months, that's probably making your stats look a little bit bad and potentially, you know, damaging your reputation in the eyes of the ISPs as well.
I've had emails from various bodies saying, are you still interested? If you don't respond, I'll assume you're not.
Yeah, which is, I think, a good thing to be doing as well, because you're just wasting, you know, you're not doing yourself any favours if they're not responding to it. And just because it doesn't cost you anything to send out one more additional email, well, just because it doesn't cost you a financial amount to send out one more email, doesn't make it necessarily, you know, worth sending out more. Mm. You know, sometimes less is better in that kind of sense there as well. Other things you could be doing is automated responses to website visits or sign-ups or spam testing pre-send, remarketing, content personalization beyond just the name. So if you know their company, could you, you know, or you know their business sector is perhaps a better way of doing it. Could you send, you know, okay, we know of our list, we have a segment of which these people are B2B people, so we will send them different email content from people who are on the other ones there as well. But there are some problems with email marketing. It's quite difficult to achieve relevance and know what frequency people want to have from those interactions. There's a general trend as well of declining interaction over time. So, you know, someone who signs up for your email list initially is going to kind of respond quite well to that. But there's an inevitable dropping off of that over time. Mm. So if your email list has been around for a period of time and you're not attracting new signups to it, there is a danger that you're going to kind of, you know, end up with no one still left to interact, even if they are still subscribed. They're likely to open and interact from that as well. There's also the fact that you've got different audience preferences. So some people are not going to have a problem at all with having weekly emails. Other people are going to want them less frequently, or some people might even want them daily. It can often be difficult to master the tool functionality. So if you're using an email piece of software, it can be tricky to get your head around it. And a lot of them are constantly changing and updating their user interfaces, which is good because they're adding additional functionality. But there can be downsides to that as well, because if you're, you know, only doing a relatively small amount of email marketing, it can be quite a kind of training overhead to kind of keep yourself up to date with these tools if you're only sending out one email a month. There's always issues of data quality as well, about deliverability. Email and our, you know, ISPs are getting more and more you know, confident in terms of turning email down, and perhaps what you might have been able to get away with from an email marketing campaign previously isn't really the case. And just general design as well. It's not easy to produce something that, you know, is attractive that people look at. A couple of interesting trends as well about email marketing. So this is from HubSpot, who we're big fans of on the show. They found that email opens on mobile devices. So people checking their marketing, you know, email marketing on a mobile device, increased from 34% from April 2011 to September 2011. So that's, you know, over a year ago now, but already huge uptake there. So questions there about, are you checking, you know, you might well check what your email looks like with Hotmail, Gmail and Outlook, but are you looking what it looks like on an iPhone email app or an Android email app? Are you, you know, checking to make sure that it kind of, the layout works in those formats? Or even if you have checked it works, if they then click through to your site and end up on a page that isn't very mobile friendly, is that a missed opportunity when that is shooting up that
kind of...
What does
it look like on the new mini iPad?
Yeah, a couple of other things to think about as well. Mobile email usage is at its lowest on a Monday, and desktop email usage is at its lowest on a Sunday. If you've got a mailing list that's made up a lot of webmail, so Hotmails, Gmails, Yahoo mails, the usage for that is at its lowest on Wednesday. And yeah, that I think is a kind of a good.
It's quite good detailed analysis.
Yeah,
it?
Yeah. So spam and deliverability. Now, low deliverability rate might get you blocked by certain ISPs, so internet service providers. Mm. So if your email has a poor delivery, you know, your delivery rate is low, that isn't just a, oh, never mind, we missed out on it. It's not just that you missed out on some of the people seeing your email. You're actually genuinely putting yourself at risk. So, you know, if your list is loaded with inactive emails or you don't have a sense of, you know, your true complaint rate, you know, it can be a problem. So what is CAN spam? You've probably heard of this. It's kind of an American law, but kind of, you know, people adhere to it all over the world because it's kind of, you know, the standard. And here are some of the guidance advice from CAN spam. Don't use misleading sender or subject lines. So try never mislead people in them. Add your postal address to all your emails. So at the bottom of your email marketing, include your postal address. If your email list isn't opt-in or double opt-in, include a clear notice that states the email is an advertisement or a solicitation in commercial messages. So make it clear that it's an advert and that's the case that they haven't opted in. If it is from an opted-in list or a double opt-in, you don't have to worry about that. But you do have to include a clear and conspicuous unsubscribe mechanism in every email. And the best way to do that is actually having a link that says unsubscribe and takes them through to a page that says unsubscribe. A few people are perhaps adhering to the letter of the law, but not the spirit of the law, in terms of having links that don't say unsubscribe. And, you know, the kind of, if you would like to receive less mailings from us, click here, and then you take them through to that page. And then the big button actually doesn't, you know, you put in your email, you know, all those types of things.
So, or you have to log in to unsubscribe.
Yeah.
And you can't remember your login details.
Yeah.
Send me my password.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, that's again, you know, might adhere to the letter, but not the spirit of the law. And just generally don't harvest email addresses or use an automated means to randomly generate addresses. So basically it comes down to only market to people who have asked to be on your email list and make it clear who is sending that email and why you're emailing them. So yeah, just to kind of to give you a little bit of a sense of delivery rate, that is actually the percentage of emails that are actually...
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves... without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Delivered to recipients' inboxes, and it's a simple kind of calculation, subtracting the hard and soft bounces from the gross number of emails sent, and then dividing that number by the gross email sent. So that's kind of how many of your emails actually hit someone's inbox. And that's kind of important, because if that delivery rate is too low, that means that your list is poor, which means that the ISPs might treat you badly. An interesting idea that a lot of people in the world of email marketing suggest is kind of this idea of warming up an IP address. So essentially, it's the gradual process that happens over time with the goal of, you know, establishing your reputation as a legitimate email sender in the eyes of internet service providers. So when an ISP observes email suddenly coming from a new or sort of cold or recently dormant IP address, they will normally kind of put under greater scrutiny than they would do if it was coming from a more established IP address. So, and you know, since that the volume is perhaps one of the, you know, most telling factors in the eyes of ISP spam filters, you're probably best if you're starting out in email marketing, or you're kind of picking back up having not done it for a while, it's good to try and not just kind of instantly send out thousands of emails. And we're probably talking in the tens of and hundreds of thousands of emails rather than the couple of thousand, which I imagine most of our listeners would be dealing with. But it's just one to bear in mind as well. It's also worth checking out your sender score. And sender score is kind of this reputation rank that's compiled by the guys at ReturnPath, and you can just go and get a score of yourself. And it kind of provides access to some of the data that the ISPs have got and other email, you know, services.
SenderPath, are they a well-known...
ReturnPath.
ReturnPath.
So yeah, they're kind of a well-known kind of, company within the space. And it kind of gives you a score, which provides you with information about, you know, how you stand in comparison to other email senders, and sort of like how likely you are to hit that spam filter.
Yeah.
Which I think for most marketers is a really important thing to think about. So go and check your sender score. It's, you know, ReturnPath, and we'll include a link to that in the show notes. It's also good to understand the difference as well between hard and soft bounces when you send your emails. So most of the email packages out there will give you a number of hard bounces, or a percentage of hard bounces and soft bounces. And that's basically a soft bounce is usually the result of kind of a temporary problem with a valid email address. So maybe their inbox is full or their server was down and, you know, it's been held up. You don't normally get many of them in your normal email world, but if you're sending email, if you've got a big list, there's going to be people who are suffering from those problems. So they're counted as soft bounces, and you know, they're people who didn't get your email, but potentially if you sent an email tomorrow, they might do. Hard bounces are more a kind of result of an invalid, closed, or non-existent email addresses, and no one's ever going to get those.
So they're unrecoverable.
Unrecoverable. Yeah. And that can happen because either someone signed up under a false one, you've bought some dodgy addresses that don't really exist, or the person just simply doesn't exist at that company. Now, most email packages just delete those hard bounces and they're removed from your list. But if you're continually getting a lot of these hard bounces every time, that's kind of a signal that, you know, the quality of your list perhaps isn't there. I've also kind of talked a bit about this idea of single and double opt-in. So I'll kind of talk about some of the different options there. So perhaps the old-fashioned way was kind of an opt-out way of building email. So maybe, you know, people fill in another form and they'd have to unselect the button. You know, it'd be a pre-checked box that automatically signed them up to an email list. That's known as opt-out. You then get single opt-in, which is essentially the same, but it's not checked previously. So they have to check the button on the registration form to opt-in. You then get kind of confirmed opt-in, which is a little bit of a, you know, a gap between the two. So that's similar to the opt-in one, but someone after they've signed up, you send them a thank you email thanking them, and then in that email give them the option to unsubscribe. Now, the best practice, and the one that I completely recommend everyone goes down the route of, is the double opt-in. So that's the same. So it's, again, it's not a default. They must click to get added. Then that sends them an email that they've got to then click that email to subscribe. Now, it might seem like one of these ones where, okay, Brilliant, Kelvin. I see that that's probably better for my list, but I prefer more people. Well, my logic is if the person can't be bothered to click on that first email, then perhaps actually they're not someone you really want on your list. Because if they're not prepared to go to that relatively small amount of effort, are they really then going to read your emails? And are they then really going to actually click through and do what you want them to do?
It's like a pre-filter, really, isn't it?
Yeah. Just to finish off, some kind of advice on building a list. To retain a lot of subscribers, companies, you know, often send fewer emails, kind of thinking that that, you know, reducing frequency might actually help them define engagement. And the rarity of emails means that they're kind of more special, right? You know, you send less, that should help you in building your list. Well, actually, frequency of email doesn't necessarily negatively impact retention. And that's kind of from HubSpot's Science of Email study that they've done. Well worth checking out. But, so you want to build your list. Well, have a clear value proposition on the page where you're trying to get people to sign up. So be clear what someone's going to get out of signing up for one of your email marketing letters. And try and make that email marketing that you're sending out more than just promotion. So could you, for example, offer tools and tips on how to run their businesses more effectively if you're in a B2B space, or, you know, similar tips if it's in a commercial space? Are you going to provide product updates from your company or special offers? And I think it's just really important to try and make sure your audience will know why they should subscribe. And I think often people just say, subscribe to our email list for more news. You know, you need more than that to try and get someone to sign up to it as well. And in terms of maintaining that list, you should be considering pruning bounces. So every time you mail a message, there's going to be some that bounce back, as I talked about. But, you know, if you've had a soft bounce report, kind of see, you know, you might want to remove them from your list because, you know, they're not reacting to you. And also, you might want to trim those who don't engage. A lot of people in email marketing say that if a subscriber hasn't opened your email in over a year, you should delete them, which, you know, maybe a better option would be if they haven't opened your email in over a year, send them an email asking if they still want to be included and then delete them if they don't respond to that. But that is kind of worth bearing in mind as well. There's a few other options out there if you don't already have a list. So you could rent a list. And again, in this case, what happens is the list doesn't necessarily transfer into your hands. You probably would never see the list. In most cases, they will have opted in. And you don't get an unlimited use of the list. Normally, you kind of have to pay to go through someone else's list. And the list owner includes unsubscribe options in every email. It makes it clear, you know, how it's going to work. And they kind of, ideally as well, if you're renting a list, you want the list owner to provide an explanation at the end of those emails about why they have subscribed to that list. It's also often good to have the list owner's name in the from. So rather than, although if I'm renting a list from someone else and, you know, I'm trying to promote them to that people, you can often see better results if actually the person whose list is name is in there rather than the person who's doing the promoting. And, you know, if the list owner's name is used as a brand name, it's probably good to kind of put that in there because sometimes, you know, the company might be named Acme Widgets or whatever it is and they don't recognise that company name, they just recognise the brand name. So that's good to do that as well. And best practices, those list owners are going to want to see your creative ahead of time and make sure that's all good. And if you are renting a list, be aware that they should be charging a reasonably high amount of money for that. Because if the price is so low, it surprises you that you'd be able to send an email to this group of people, it's probably a bad sign that they're probably, you know, it's not that valuable a list that they've got there. And my final tip, if you are going to buy a list, it's not always that advisable. If you are, though, think about list fatigue, because the person who's selling this list, they're probably selling it multiple times to lots of people. So are the people on that list going to actually want to be on that list anymore, if indeed they even know they are there? Again, the quality as well, because inevitably people are buying on quantity rather than quality because it's hard to do so. And often there can be some kind of permission and legal issues as well, because not often some of these bought lists are perhaps from not the most reputable, even if they are from reputable companies, they perhaps haven't, you know, they might have bought a list, two lists which they've combined, and you don't know what the quality of those people are. So just a kind of sense of a note of caution, really. Your best bet is to build your own list by having a clear value proposition and, you know, making it clear what people are going to do. If that's potentially taking too long for you, renting can be a good way to kind of use email marketing. You can buy a list, but I would generally say buyer beware.
How interesting. Can I ask you a personal question?
Yeah, go for it, Andy.
Have you ever bought a list?
No, I haven't. I mean, I think we've in the past done some phone stuff where we've bought phone lists.
Yeah.
But again, we've never, you know, it's one of those things we've done, I think, two or three times every couple of years, and every time we go, we're never going to do it again.
Really?
Because it's never worked for us.
Yeah.
And then eventually someone else will come in and say, no, we ought to try it. You just didn't do it properly last time. And then, no, it just never works. So, I mean, there's an opportunity. I think you're better off kind of going to someone who already has an audience and asking how you can promote to that audience if you've got a good offer for them. And that's kind of more the renting route, perhaps, than the buying. But yeah, I think if you can build your own email list, you're in a very strong position to, you know, really successfully promote your business online.
It's really good to cover email again because it's been a while since we've done it. Am I right in thinking we've got a part two on this next show?
Certainly, certainly. We're going to be going through things like how to plan an email campaign and how to go about designing them, some best practice of subject lines and that type of thing. And also some advice about, recommended suppliers and two or three who I rate really highly.
Okay, brilliant. So that's coming up in the next show. So it's goodbye from me, Andy White.
And goodbye from me, Kelvin Newman.
And we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing, brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. Goodbye.
Bye.
Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on the internet at www.internetmarketingpodcast.org, where you'll find show notes, links, and instructions on how to subscribe. We would absolutely love to get feedback, comments, and questions from you. If you want to send an email, send it to kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com. Also, feel free to comment on the website. And if you'd like to use our voice line number, if you're outside of the UK, it's +44 1273 256 150. If you're inside the UK, it's 01273 256 150. And you can leave a voice comment or question and we'll play it on the show. Also, we would absolutely be delighted if you would give us a rating on iTunes itself. Well, that's it for now. Andy White signing off until next week on Internet Marketing.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.